Have any more prayer requests? Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Oh, I'm sorry. Where's Grandma? Okay, she's okay? All right. Can you hit that fan, Trevor? Thank you. One of the great I ams in the book of John is when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. That troubled a lot of the religious people back then because he said, I am. When God told Moses to go into Egypt, Moses said, who do I say sent me? And he said, I am. So Jesus proclaimed himself as being God on this earth. But Jesus told us to take this as often as you will. The most important thing to do is not to ever let it become a religious tradition or a habit or just something that you do every Sunday or every other Sunday or whenever you get this time, but to release your faith in it. The Word of God did the Jewish people little good because they didn't release their faith in it. Paul told us if you discern the body of Christ, actually he said there's only one reason that Christians are sickly is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So remember, if there's always something, there's always an anti. So if you do discern the body of Christ, you should expect to live healthy and whole. Amen? The way to discern that body of Christ is to look at this bread and see Jesus' sacrifice in this bread. This bread, number one, is made without yeast. That's significant. Yeast in the Bible is significant of sin. Jesus' body is absolutely sinless. Also, this bread has been beaten and pounded. He was beaten and bruised for us. Sometimes people get wounds deep inside them that they can't deal with. Only Jesus can deal with those deep inner wounds. You take this, receiving Him is your healer inside. Also, this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced, not only in His side, but also in His hands and in His feet and on His scalp. Everywhere that the body of Jesus was pierced, He shed blood. And whenever He shed blood, we got redemption for it in some place. Also, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus. I can't express that enough. The punishment that we deserved, Jesus took. So that we could take the blessing that only He deserved. And His body was broken, and we're taking this for our healing and well-being in Jesus' name. It's important to not rush through this. It's important to just stop, take your time, and think about what this did. This shed blood is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. This blood not only washed away your sins, but it continually cleanses you from all sin. And this blood is always alive. This blood did such a perfect work in you that it made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing else could have ever done that. Now, because of that, you can enter boldly into the throne room of grace and stand in God's presence as if nothing ever happened, because truly you've been justified freely by His grace. We thank you for this. Open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It's on page 975 in my Bible, so just open up to that. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." We're going to talk about pioneering faith today. A lot of times, the church lets the pioneers of faith be somebody else. God has destined you as a born-again believer that has been baptized in the Holy Ghost to be a pioneer of faith. He wants you to be out there on the front line doing things that nobody else wants to do. He's got a great calling on your life. Exploits means deeds that are marked by daring and excellence. Too many people want to just sit back and wait for a famous evangelist or maybe a specially anointed pastor or a prophet or somebody to change their community. Somebody to change their state or their country or their world. God has anointed you to do this. He's called you to do this. How do you change your world? How do you change the atmosphere that you live in? Every time God has done something extraordinary with an individual in the Bible, the first thing He did was get a hold of their tongue. He changed their confession. He changed what they said. Instead of sitting around saying, "I can't do anything about any of these problems that are in this world," you sit down and say, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world." You know, God made a covenant with a man named Abram. But in order for God to get done what he needed to get done through Abram, he had to change his confession. The best way to change his confession was to change his name. So he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Well, that doesn't mean much, does it? It most certainly does. Because the name Abraham means father of many nations. So Abraham, even though he had not had a child, and his wife was barren, and Abraham was getting old, he had to go around calling himself the father of many nations. Now, he wasn't just saying it to himself. He had to say it to his employees. He had to say it to the people that he did business with. I mean, his faith, he had to say what he believed. So his employees would come get paid, and he'd say, my name is not Abram anymore. My name is the father of many nations. Can you imagine all of his little sheep herders going out behind the rock, behind the tent? Then that old man has spent too much time in the sun. He doesn't have one kid. But he says he's the father of many nations. He fried his brain herding them goats. But Abraham didn't find shame in that, and he wasn't afraid to express what he believed. Too many people want to back down from their confession of faith in the presence of people in their community. Too many people want to back down from their confession of their faith, even in the face of their family. See, there is persecution. Sometimes it's heavy, and so some countries you could lose your life. Americans got it pretty easy. But sometimes American Christians seem to be some of the most spineless Christians in the whole world. Because they don't truly want to confess what they truly believe, because these popular people might find it uncomfortable. Who cares? It's time for you to take up your cross and be abrasive in this world. If you're at peace with the enemy, what good are you doing? I'm telling you right now, if people that support abortion and gay marriage and all this other nonsense, these pink hat parades, if those people are comfortable with what you say, then are you saying the truth? Are you really preaching the gospel? I've had preachers get so mad at me. Because they think they can support a little bit. Look, if you support a little bit of the devil, you support the whole thing. Amen? Now, there's three kinds of people in this world, in the church world. Number one, we have the museum keepers. They're content with dusting off the memories of the past. You know, we did this 30 years ago. We're just going to keep that memory alive. We ain't going to do anything else, but we're going to just remember how it was 30 years ago. What a grand event it was. William Myers, I'm not even close to this. But he said, if your testimony is 24 hours old, you're backsliding. Oh, well, I got a long ways to go. But what that meant is he was constantly thinking about the kingdom of God. He was constantly doing something to advance the kingdom of God. He was constantly doing something to plunder hell and populate heaven. It's a curious thing. The world is led by their five natural senses. Christians are to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, the book of John says as many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. But the world needs to see something, they need to smell something, they need to feel something, they need to hear something, they need to taste some five natural senses. They need to see something happen. What happens is these occult practices and Satanists, they've figured out how to make signs and wonders happen. So people see something happen. And they gravitate to what their five natural senses draw them to. The church, sitting in the pews, waiting for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to happen inside the church, wondering why something isn't happening. Those days are over. Those days are over. The people of this world need to see the church do something. They need to see the church go out there to places that the church hasn't been before. It's not good enough the way Grandma did things. We're going in a new direction. The second kind of people are the settlers. They're content to stay in their comfort zone. That's a natural thing for people. I'm okay. I don't want to try this thing new. I don't want to try this. I don't know about that. Let somebody else do that. Expand your horizons. One of the interesting things I find about people is their lack of curiosity for other people. One of the things I've always been, I felt like I've always needed to do is if I'm going to be involved with people, I need to experience their culture. How many of you ate cabrito? How many of you ate menudo? How many have even tried menudo? How many have eaten boudin? What I'm telling you is trying something different. It's not going to hurt you. The scary places in this world are scary because you allow them to be. The scary places in this world are scary because you've never been there before. The dark places in this world are dark because there's no light there. You know, I found the best barbecue place in Midland. And it was in a place they called the Flats. And it was a rough part of town. But I didn't care. I spent a lot of time down there witnessing to people. I'd go down there and find winos. I'd go find outlaws. I'd go find whatever I wanted to and eat some good barbecue. And I ran into some people from church and they said, "Was that you?" "Yeah." "So we won't even stop in that part of town. And you're walking around out there?" I said, yeah, I noticed there's not a big line of preachers out there. So I got and get some good barbecue while I'm at it. They couldn't even imagine that. Because it was out of their comfort zone. It was out of their bubble. I'm going to tell you something. God will take care of you. If you really will believe this, He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll stay with you right to the end of the world. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Where are you going to go that God is not big enough to take care of you? There's nowhere that you can go that God is not big enough to take care of you. Amen? Don't settle. Don't settle for where you're at. There's always a new adventure. And then there's pioneers. These are the people that are constantly pressing into new territories. These are the people that want to see what's around the corner. They want to see what's in that dark spot over there. They want to see what's on that mountain, in that valley. These are the people that are constantly curious. These are the people that want to try new things all the time. These are the people that drive the people around them crazy. Believe me. People ask me, so, well, what if it doesn't work? What if it does? What if everything goes the way it's supposed to go and somebody gets born again? What if everything works out great? Amen? There's two ways you can look at what if. What if I fail? What if God succeeds? God's not going to fail. You got to get yourself out of the way. Amen? Quit looking at you. You ain't as cool as you think you are. God is. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I want you to notice right there that fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. It's not just something. It is a spirit. And it's not from God. He's given you the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. So when that presence of fear shows up, you have to take dominion over that thing. Tell that thing to get in the name of Jesus. You have authority to do that. And guess what? You're the one that's going to have to do it. But don't ever invite that spirit of fear into your life. And people do it all the time. They'll talk about how afraid they are of the economy. They'll talk about how afraid they are of getting sick. They'll talk about how afraid they are that their kids are being idiots. Well, if I don't worry about my kid, who's going to? If I don't worry about the stock market, who's going to? God's not going to. And He's not worried about you. He's faithful to you. And He's observant to you. But He's not afraid of your past. He's not afraid of your future. So if you'll follow him, he is the good shepherd. He'll lead you to where you need to be. You know, there's a neat thing. I watched a video of Israel, and this was really cool because I had read about this in the Bible. It said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And I always thought that was kind of interesting, but then I watched a sheep herder in Israel. And this guy had his little flock of sheep. And he's Cain, and he's walking through these cars, through this traffic, down this street. It was a busy street. And his sheep were following him. I thought, wow, he's leading his sheep out to green pastures. That's how we're supposed to follow Jesus. He'll lead us into green pastures. The devil will paint a terrible picture. He'll paint the most horrible picture for you to see that you can even imagine. But Jesus will lead you to green pastures. One of the biggest fights I ever had in my life was moving down here. Because where we lived, we had a good job, a company pickup, and a house. I never had my own house before. We had a house. It was ours. And the clover was that tall. You could lose a cow in the clover. And it's green everywhere. And wonderful. And I came down. We came down here to look at this church. And it was right after that fire. And if it wasn't black, it was brown. I think I'll pray on this one for a little while. But what happened? The devil had painted an ugly picture. This place was a mess. It looked like a bomb went off here. Especially when you come out of God's country and you come down here after that fire, it looked tough. And finally, the breaking moment was when I went to work and I went through the gate, got on the road, and I said, God, I finally got into a spot where we're in the blessing. Things are going good. We got a house, got to pick up, all this stuff. Got a good, wonderful church that I like to go to. And he said, found the blessings inside of you. That means it's possible for you to create your own reality. You can live in the armpit of existence, or you can live in the promised land, and guess what? It can be in the same town. Whichever one you choose. You can choose to live in rottenness, or you can choose to live in blessing. But here's the thing. The Bible says that a man's belly is going to be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. Just like Abraham that wanted a child so much. For 25 years he had to walk around calling things that aren't as though they were, until Isaac happened. You're going to have to spend some time calling things that aren't as though they are. You know, the Bible says you can have what you say. But people are running around saying what they have. What they're doing is they're calling more of what they got into existence. When in Bible truth, they can call what they need into existence. Let's go to Psalms chapter 18, verse 28. Psalms chapter 18, verse 28. For thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through the troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Now what happened first? Did he just go out there and start expanding his territory? Did he go out there into a whole new wild adventure first? Or did he get his candle lit first? First he's going to get revelation and inspiration from God. And you're going to get that from the Word. You're going to find out who you are in that Bible. And you're going to find out what God says you have. And you're going to find out what God says you can do first. And then when you get a revelation in your heart that you really can do all things through Christ, then you will jump over that wall and expand your territory. You'll go into new places. You'll do new things. You'll run into new people. You'll witness to people like you've never witnessed to them before. You'll pray for people in places that you never thought you'd ever pray for anybody. You'll do things that you've never done before because the inspiration of God and the anointing of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and get the job done through you. We just have to allow God to be God in our lives. The first place to start is to get pride out of the way and deal with fear. Why do I say pride? Because here's the thing. Whenever there's something new to do, whenever there's a new territory to conquer, people will say, "What if I fail? What, do you think you're going to look like a dummy? What, you think you're going to look like a fool? Do you think you're going to feel ashamed?" Jesus endured the shame on the cross. When you get your candle lit and you're being guided by the Holy Spirit to go somewhere, you're not going to look like a fool. Something is going to change in your environment and somebody is going to get set free. One of the most popular preachers in this world, his daughter, now she had a reason to, I mean, if anybody had a reason, she'd have a reason to not try to look like an idiot. I mean, she wouldn't want to bring shame on her father's ministry. But she's driving down the road one day, and the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to go in this gas station, go back to the milk cooler or the beer cooler, or pop cooler, whatever it was. Go back there and stand on your head." Well, that's befitting of a powerful preacher's daughter, isn't it? This is said, okay, she's going to be led by the Holy Spirit regardless of what she thinks she might look like. So she goes wandering into this little gas station, into this, right by the till, goes back to the cooler, stands on her head. And she said, "Okay, now what?" So, okay, go to the till. So she grabbed something, so she had something to show for herself. So she goes up there to the till to pay for whatever it was she grabbed, and the girl at the till said, "You know, I was going to kill myself. I told God, I said, if you're really real, send somebody in here to stand on their head in front of that cooler." And she got born again on the spot. Get yourself out of the way. Let God be God in your life. Let Him lead you through this life into new territories. Let him lead you into new adventures. Quit worrying about what you're going to look like. Quit worrying about if you make a mistake. Quit worrying about if you fail. Just let the Holy Spirit take care of that. Go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. We'll finish with this. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the body." We're going to let God light our candles before we jump any walls. We're going to let God give us the inspiration in our hearts. We're going to let God give us the revelation in our spirits before we go out on a new adventure. We're not going to go out there just because somebody said to. We're going to go out there because the Holy Spirit built it up in our hearts to go out there and do it. Each one of you has been invited by the Holy Spirit to do something. And you almost took that step. But then you said, "No, that's just me." Let it slide. We've all heard God's voice inside of us. And it sounded so much like us that we didn't act on it. Well, if he talked to you in Charlton Heston's voice, it'd take us 3 days to run you down. It's going to be that still, quiet voice inside of you. It sounds familiar to you. I remember one time a friend of mine was ministering in a nursing home. And he was so excited. He came up to me one day and he said, I heard God's voice. I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I walked into that place." And he said, "Hi, Jess, I'm glad you're here." I said, "That's cool." And he kept going on about it. And he was digging. He was trying to make sure. And he kept going. And then finally I just turned around to him and it sounded just like your voice, didn't it? He said, "How do you know that?" "Well, I've heard it." See, Samuel, it took the prophet Samuel some practice. Because he first heard God's voice and he ran over to the king. Or ran over to his prophet. And then he heard it again and he ran over to his prophet again, to his leader. And then finally, the third time he heard God's voice, he responded to God. It's going to take practice. Don't get frustrated if you're not sure you're hearing the voice of God. It's not between your little flappers. It's in here. It's not always going to make sense to you. Probably not ever going to look easy. But if it is easy, you can do it. And then there would be no faith involved. And then God probably wouldn't get the glory. Amen. So we're going to spend some time on this next week. We're going to be thinking about expanding our territories. Seeing new things. New ways of doing things. You know, we're really heading into a very exciting time in the whole universe, the whole world's history. Things are going to be completely different. Don't get caught sitting at home waiting for things to get normal again. It's not ever going to get normal again. Not ever going to get normal again. It's going to get excitingly different. But you're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because almost every time anything has ever happened in this whole world, there have been shysters that have tried to get people to go left when they should have gone right. The Word of God is the light under your feet. Let Him keep you on that straight and narrow path. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Don't worry about what you know. Focus on what you do know, and that is Jesus is your Lord. Amen? Amen. There's going to be a whole new way of doing things. The Bible tells us that we will come together in the unity of the faith. Not your doctrine. The unity of your faith. That means a lot of this stuff that people have been fighting over for hundreds of years is going to get washed away, and they're going to see Jesus is Lord. And they're going to be able to agree on that. The body of Christ will come together. You just as well get over yourself. You don't know everything. Amen. We're going to have a lot to learn. But it's okay. Don't be afraid of change. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus does for us. As our high priest, for our names are engraved in precious stones on his chest. He's always there to make intercession for us. He's always looking over us, leading us and guiding us and protecting us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh yeah, some good snacks back here and some fellowship. Everybody come on back and visit a little bit and have a Christmas goodie.